Ernst Christoph Friedrich Sondel being interviewed by the editor of Just Cause magazine, Todd Sekol from Chicago, on August 17, 78 via long-distance telephone call. The editor spoke with me for approximately 1.5 hours.
Hello, Mr. Friedrich?
Yeah.
This is Todd Sekol, the editor of Just Cause magazine.
Yeah.
How are you?
Not too bad.
I talked to Brian Burton earlier.
Yes.
And he was going to tell you, I guess, that I was going to call. This was a call about a half an hour ago, but I got hung up on some other matters here.
Yeah, I've heard the name Just Cause mentioned on Canadian radio. What's your magazine like?
What's it like? Well, it's basically what we do is try to get all UFO evidence being held by the government to be released. We put in freedom of information requests, and we also have a freedom of information lawsuit going against the CIA. And we're just attempting to get all UFO evidence being held by the government out in the open and available for study by civilian researchers. And our publication basically publishes whatever we manage to get released, and talks about current investigations that are going on. And we've been going back and forth with various government bodies such as NASA, the State Department, CIA, Air Force, and so on. Basically, it centers around that and whatever else is newsworthy in the ufological community. Since your organization is making some waves and getting a certain amount of publicity, I thought I'd be interested in talking to you and interviewing you and doing some kind of an article that'll let people know what's really going on. We try and be as factual and objective about it as we can.
It's okay.
And,
basically,
I guess what's really caused the biggest controversy so far, and has got you a lot of publicity, is the arrangement you made with NICAP to get your brochures distributed. Would you mind describing how that came about and what the arrangement consists of and so on? And some people this thing has kicked off a lot of rumors. Most of them apparently groundless. There are rumors going on that NICAP and Samastat are about to merge, or that NICAP is going to sell out to Samastat, or something to that effect. So whatever comments you'd like to make on the situation, I'd be appreciated.
Gosh, I didn't realize that we were causing such a stir up here. Everything has been fairly peaceful.
Yeah.
Except for a few irate calls from Jewish recipients of our mail.
Mm-hmm.
They have taken it upon themselves to call us all manner of names and accuse us of all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Which is but par for the course. But no, the NICAP thing, I have to disappoint you in one way. This is the second and third time that I have dealt with NICAP. I bought the NICAP list 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Partial list. And I just wrote down to NICAP and I said, look, you are, to my understanding from the Canadian scene here, the largest UFO organization in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And is your mailing list still for sale? And as it is for sale. And they have made absolutely no strings and no conditions, which I find surprising.
Did you write to NICAP directly as Samastat, or did you represent yourself as something else?
No, no. What I said was, under an advertising agency, which I also own.
Yes.
See, I own several businesses in Toronto.
Ideas Incorporated?
The Idea Center.
Idea Center?
Right. And this is, I've been in the advertising business for over 20 years.
Right.
You see?
So NICAP didn't really know that they were dealing with Samastat?
No, they did not. No, they did not.
After they found out they were dealing with Samastat, was there any reservation on NICAP's part?
I received a letter from Mr. Akoff.
Yeah.
A rather nasty kind of a letter.
Yeah.
Saying that I had misrepresented myself, which is a lot of nonsense. Because after all, I had asked if the mailing list was for sale. No conditions were attached to the sale.
Right.
Not even a condition as to how often we were able to use the list.
Right.
As a matter of fact, NICAP is the one that I think morally misrepresented itself in that they said that the mailing list was clean. I found that the mailing list, on the contrary, is not clean at all, hasn't been cleaned, which you know what that means, that it has old things in there. We are getting, we have had about 4,000 letters returned from that mailing.
I see.
And consequently, my beef with NICAP is really no beef at all. You know, it was a financial transaction.
Sure.
I asked if they wanted to sell me their mailing list. They did. And I bought it, and there are no conditions attached. I went through my
right.
correspondence again with Mr. Akuf, who is in charge from NICAP.
Right.
Absolutely no strings attached whatsoever.
You bought something on the order of 20,000 names from, I understand.
22,650 names.
Right. And he had stated or guaranteed that these were clean. In other words, they were active people who...
Yeah, that was the understanding when I first corresponded with him.
Right.
That there might be a percentage that, of course, in the United States and in Canada, the turnover, people move very quickly. We are a very mobile society here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understood that there's always, in any mailing, a small percentage of people, if the list is current. But I can assure you that the NICAP mailing list is definitely not current.
So you got back about 4,000 out of the... Did you send out 22,000 pieces? Or?
We have sent out 22,650 pieces, yes.
And you got it back about 4,000?
4,000 so far. Every day, we're still getting letters back from behind the Iron Curtain, some of them from Israel, in Philippines,
right.
all over the place. You see, they have quite a remarkable spread of people. I don't quite know how the hell they get by those names.
Yeah, I think one of the things that he had was names of people who had just inquired
mm-hmm.
about NICAP had actually never,
Well, I frankly think... I think that what this is a mixed bag of subscribers and of inquiry names.
Mm-hmm. So, if anything, you were misled.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I consider that but standard North American business practice. What I have encountered, you know, people stretching some points, and I'm not mad at them, you know. And if Akuf and NICAP are getting some flack, I think it's not quite fair to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the only flack is...
We are definitely not going to merge because our philosophies, from what I understand since with NICAP, are totally different. NICAP believes that the flying saucers are either American-made or are extraterrestrial, you know?
And what is Samastat believe?
I would just reverse the pyramid from the point of view of what is terrestrial and extraterrestrial. I believe that undoubtedly there's life on other planets
mm-hmm.
and in other galaxies, solar systems, and so on. I firmly believe that it would be presumptuous, arrogant, and egotistical for any human to look up in the starlit sky to think that we are alone. It's ridiculous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there is undoubtedly, at this time has been 10,000 years ago, millions of years ago, space probes from other people, other places, other beings, other things, cruising through the universe,
mm-hmm.
and will forever and ever,
mm-hmm.
at any point in time.
Let me ask you one more thing about NICAP before I get off of that, and that's, did you ever make an arrangement with NICAP to... stuff their newsletters or the envelopes that the newsletters went out in with your brochures?
No.
There was never any arrangement for that.
That must be a completely red herring somebody's introducing here. Not at all. I had hoped to write to Akuf, and I will do that still, pointing out to him that we have had what I consider a bad deal out of the list in that there are so many old names in there,
right.
hoping that I could advertise in their magazine, get maybe a reduced rate. But no, Akuf or NICAP has never done that for us. Any Jewish, for instance, member of NICAP that have written to us or written to the United States postal authorities that they do not want to receive our material, we immediately take off our mailing list. because we wouldn't want to, number one, offend them, number two, waste our 25 cents on each name that goes out to them.
Are people of Jewish origin excluded from subscribing or joining your organization?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, in Canada here, the best publicity that I've ever had came from a moderator of a radio show in St. Catharines, Ontario, who had me on for a two-hour talk show, and we had terrific response. He was himself Jewish. Nobody see.
On your clip form here for replying to your, putting in an order.
Yeah.
It has a questionnaire, and two of the things asked for are ethnic origin and religious denomination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this obviously has led some people to believe that there might be discrimination being practiced. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, why would you seek the information?
No, actually, that is a standard form that I have for other books that I produce, you see, and that we just use that English. Maybe we should cross that out. No problem at all. No problem at all. We have Russians, for instance. We have a Russian professor in Venezuela.
People get the impression that you yourself are a Nazi or a Nazi promoter.
Right.
And along those lines that you would be anti-Semitic.
Well, I don't particularly dig Jews. No, you're right there. But as to discrimination from people in our millions, no, we'd like to sell them all we can.
In other words, you wouldn't prohibit them from participating.
No.
Do you have an organization, by the way, besides just...
No, we just... snowballed to such a point that we are now arranging seminars and going... conventions, for instance,
right.
the Jewish end of this thing is that we were just in February down at the Star Trek convention in New York, which was organized by three or four Jewish Star Trek and UFO people.
Mm.
We were admitted, no problem. We showed our books there, sold our books there, showed our models there, demonstrated our flying models, stuff like that, no problem at all.
You were originally from Germany, right?
Yeah, was born there.
Did you emigrate to Canada?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to admit that I'm a draft dodger.
Oh, you're a draft dodger from Germany?
Yeah, right.
I see.
Not really.
Mandatory induction in
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And you avoided that by going to Canada?
Yeah, I believed in all the American propaganda about the Germans at that particular time as a young fellow of 18. Unfortunately, I was brainwashed by the
Americans. What year was that?
Pardon?
What year was that?
58? Yeah.
I see.
And so I decided to come here. I've since changed my mind about the topic. However, that's really why I came here.
You came to Canada to avoid the German draft.
German draft, yeah.
That's interesting.
Because I didn't want to be an American foreign legionnaire. I felt that if the United States wanted to fight communism so bad, since my father had fought it 14 kilometers outside Moscow, now it let the Yanks fight it in Berlin. See?
I see.
So
you've lived in Canada ever since 58?
Yeah, but I've been go back to Europe very frequently.
I see.
And have been all around the world.
When you were in Europe, were you involved in any Nazi movements?
No.
Fascist movements?
No, I was so young.
How would you characterize your political outlook?
I certainly believe that Adolf Hitler was a genius and completely misunderstood genius. And part of my life's work, as far as I'm concerned, is to explain to the brainwashed American public that they have been sold a bill of goods, that Germany is not the horrific, monstrous nation that the world is led to believe, but that we are basically a bunch of nice guys.
The Nazis were basically a bunch of nice guys?
Well, not all of them, but certainly Nazi Germany was a very civilized government.
Right.
Law and order government, and it's not anywhere near the way it has been presented in the Anglo-American and Jewish media. So that...
The Nazis have been maligned in Germany.
Definitely.
And you think this is due in part to the number of people of Jewish extraction in the American media?
Absolutely.
But still, you don't mind if people of the Jewish religion subscribe to your
No way. I find Jews fascinating people. As a matter of fact, I find the Jews the polarity to the German. They are equally dynamic, they're equally fast-moving, hard-working, efficient organizers. It's a pity that we can't get our acts together, because together, boy, we could really do something.
We could take over the world.
Yeah, certainly. And maybe one day we might, you know.
What about, well, you said the Nazis were maligned. Yeah. What about their extermination program?
Oh, this is a lot of bullshit.
You don't believe it?
Ah, it's a lot of bullshit.
It's total bullshit, or part of it was true, or
99.9% bullshit.
In other words, there were not 6 million Jews exterminated.
No way.
What happened to them?
They all came to the United States.
They all came to the United States.
Argentina, places like that. Yeah, it's completely.
But what about all those people they found in the concentration camps at the end of the war?
Well, you mean the live ones or the dead ones?
Well, either one.
Okay, the live ones I can account for quite simply. That had American concentration camps, Canadian concentration camps, British concentration camps.
Yeah, but we didn't have people in them that looked like human skeletons.
Well, of course, you were lucky in that you had all the Anglo-Saxon world, which was really the breadbasket of the world today.
Right.
You could feed them all comfortably. We couldn't, you see? Number one, the food rations in Germany were very low. I was myself.
So why didn't the German citizens look like human skeletons?
I did too. I can show you photographs of myself. The rations in the concentration camps at the end of the war were actually calorie-wise higher than outside of the concentration camps. You know, concentration camp inmates received more food.
They were eating better than the
German
people.
And they were safer than the Germans, because the Allies, as a policy, very seldom bombed concentration camps. As a matter of fact, the people that suffered in the war were the Germans outside the concentration camps, and inside the concentration camps it was very safe. Many Germans resented that, and we thought that we should have put our concentration camps into downtown Hamburg or Berlin and let the Allies kill all the Jews. As to the dead corpses, I can explain that to you quite simply. The International Red Cross in 1947 put out a report, which you can get for about $14 from the Geneva Red Cross even today, and it states very clearly in there how many camps there were, how many inmates were in each camp, what each camp was specialized for, and basically what the German camps were war factories and the concentration camps of workers. In other words, it took only 400 people to protect 30,000 inmates, as compared to 10,000 cops to protect 30,000 people loose on the outside. And the Jews were imprisoned, for instance, in Germany, and not all of them were, by the way, basically, if they were security risks. It's not true that every Jew in Germany was in a concentration camp. Not true at all. And the photographs that you saw, for instance, of Bergen.
Do you think the imprisoning and mistreatment of Jewish people was justified?
As a war measure, definitely, because the United States did exactly the same thing with the Japanese. The British did the same with the Boers in World War I. The Canadians did it with the Japanese, and the Germans over here. Those who are responsible for the war are responsible for the inhumanity to man committed in that war. And the German people were totally innocent at the outbreak of the war.
So at least part of your, seemingly part of what Samizdat is attempting to do is to rectify the what you consider the unjustified and false image that's been given
absolutely.
Nazis and
absolutely.
Samizdat is concerned with this and is trying to rectify that through its publication.
Yeah. Samizdat does not only produce few UFO books; we produce highly factual.
So we could call this, if one wanted to put a bottom line on it, he could call this a pro-Nazi propaganda campaign.
See, that's the problem with North Americans. If you say anything that is factual about National Socialism, because you have been so...
Well, we all think our propaganda is factual. None of us typify it as propaganda.
Well, that's so cool.
I mean, if I was writing something about the United States, which was very favorable, you could call it propaganda. I would think of it as fact.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, of course.
That's the distinction.
Well, your image over here that has been created is your World War II propaganda image. Since you won the war, you never had history here. All you had is propaganda. You have propaganda parading around as history.
So what we call fact, you call propaganda, and what you call fact, I call propaganda, okay?
Well, that's the pity of it is...
In any case, your Stalinist is trying to rectify what you consider the falsehoods that were promulgated by the American press about the Nazis.
That's one of the reasons of its existence, yes. To be a counterforce and to give people a more balanced viewpoint on things German and, for instance, right now I'm in the process of publishing a book by a German Jew who was in the concentration camps in Germany and who states what he saw and what he lived through inside concentration camps, pointing out how the Zionists in World War II collaborated with the Nazis in order to set up the Palestinian state. So that's another product that Samizdat is going to be soon launching. So we've got lots of exciting projects going on, you're right. If we're creating a Fuhrer, geez, I'm delighted to hear that we are making an impact. Great. I obviously found the right method. Wouldn't you say for a guy that is running an organization that this is his duty? Yeah. I love it. I mean, I think it's terrific. Last week we had a two-hour talk show from Vancouver that was apparently a real blockbuster. So it's I'm pleased. You know?
Right.
And I certainly don't mean...
Are you affiliated in any way with any other neo-Nazi organization?
Like Frank Counts in Chicago's group?
Right.
No, because...
Do you communicate with these people?
Not at all. I recognize a Jewish agent when I see one. I consider Frank Cullen a Jewish hero in Nazi uniform.
Why is that?
Well, he's a Jew, born of a Jewish father.
I see.
Who was in a concentration camp in Germany.
Not a real
no
Nazi.
Way.
Would you call yourself a Nazi?
This is Hollywood Nazism that he's practicing. Would I call myself a Nazi? Not in the... Again, we are back to the distorted view that you have over here in North America. Could I relate to things that National Socialism stood for in Germany? For sure, certainly. If I had been in Germany at that particular time, I'm quite sure I would have been a member. But you see, what you people over here hear about is concentration camps, gas chambers, beating up of priests, raping of nuns and stuff like that. That had nothing to do with the reality of Germany. Germans are very nice people, hardworking, honest people. They elected Hitler after they took a look at him for 13 years. They tried all the other options they had before. They tried the liberals, the conservatives, the democrats, the capitalists. They tried all the Jewish solutions for Germany, and they all failed, and they tried Hitler, and it worked. They took you people...
What do you mean it worked? It almost took Germany off the map.
No, you took Germany off the map. America.
Yeah, but I mean, well, it didn't work then.
Well, no, well, it's the fact is that if you produce a nice flower garden someplace, and you have a nasty neighbor who is too lazy to work and put his flower garden in order, and he tramples your lovely daffodils and tulips and roses, just because you got a bully for a neighbor doesn't mean that your garden didn't work. We had a beautiful society in Germany. It was peaceful, it was orderly, it was progressive, and America, and led on basically by Jewish capitalists and communists, smashed it to smithereens, and the account has not been settled yet. You see?
Well, how is the account going to be settled?
Well, time will tell. World War II is not over. Germany has not been getting a peace a treaty with either the East or the West. We are today in Germany occupied country. West Germany is an occupied American satellite. East Germany is a Russian satellite. The people that are running these two countries are Quislings. They are our traitors. They came back to Germany under American tanks. So World War II, as far as we are concerned, what we have is a momentary pause. And it's interesting that the Jewish people of the world and the Marxists of the world certainly, and the United States government certainly, is treating this issue in exactly the same way. The way the United States is monkeying around with the international currency and robbing Europeans blind right now with their dollar manipulations is an act of war against Europe. And it's no different from the Soviet bloc when they robbed the East Germans, the Czechs, and the Poles of their hard-earned money. In other words, when the Chinese, for instance, talk about hegemony in Europe and in the world between the United States and Russia, they're right.
Could you hang on just one second? I got another call here. I'll be right back to you, okay?
While my interviewer obviously had to change tapes on his tape recorder, I would like to make a few observations. It is interesting how my very calculated tactic and trick has worked so beautifully in this case again. The UFO topic, which is a very popular and somewhat crazy and nutty topic, was able to serve as my entrance or my wedge or my foot in the door with this publication. We started out discussing flying saucers very briefly, and within a very few short moments, this man obviously was fascinated by my honesty with which I discussed these hot irons, which are supposedly taboo in North America. And here we are discussing them freely, frankly, and he is just enthralled. And my tactic is paying off and makes the UFO topic definitely the most suitable topic for us to break through the silent treatment and the media censorship which we have been experiencing for the last 20 years.
Okay, I'm sorry. You still there?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You see, if that is totally unusual stuff that you're hearing, it is not that it doesn't exist or it isn't talked about. It means that America and the rest of the world, because of largely Jewish censorship, doesn't usually hear these ideas expressed.
Well, I'm curious as to why you chose, to express this through what ostensibly is related to UFOs.
Okay, I can tell you that also quite frankly and openly. I make never any secrets about it. UFO people are unusual thinkers. They are willing to think the unthinkable. They are operating on a dimension of mind which most people wouldn't dare because they would be called kooks. In other words, these are people who have cut the apron strings around them. They are willing to stand by themselves. That's the kind of human material.
So you think UFO buffs or aficionados are susceptible to hearing your point of view, which is that the Nazis during World War II and prior to World War II were maligned totally, that the German Nazi government was in fact a good government and one that did not mistreat people, and so on.
If you are asking me whether I think that they want to hear that, there might be.
No, I'm not saying they want to hear it, but you think that they of all people are open to
absolutely
being persuaded that your side of the story is in fact the truth.
I think that UFO people, in order to think the unthinkable, are the real independent people of our age. And they would have been the guys that went out exploring for New America and El Dorado in the olden days, you see. And it's interesting, whenever I've gone to UFO conventions and lectured there, it has been an absolute delight for me to have question and answer periods with audience. And of course, my viewpoint takes a tremendous amount of flack from questioners because they have grown up for a whole lifetime with the brainwash. And believe me, it's not an easy one, but I think anything of value isn't easy and doesn't come easy in the world. And the response so far from people who have been subscribing to us and buying our books and stuff like that has been most encouraging. I think I've been borne out absolutely correctly.
Is this mainly through your nightcap arrangement?
No. I have been doing samizdats for about 5 years.
I see.
And we are doing flying saucer research in Germany. We are having test flights conducted right now in Germany. We have one man in South Africa who is working on flying models. And the Germans are working on some of the old German plans. Mm-hmm. We are seriously into that because I've been a UFO buff all my life.
Let me see if I can summarize some of the main points here then.
Okay.
You left Germany in 1958 when you were about 18
right.
to avoid being drafted or inducted into the German army.
Because
you emigrated to Canada.
I did that because I didn't want to be a foreign legionnaire for the United States.
Right. And you emigrated to Canada, and you've been living in Canada ever since, right?
That's right.
But you have gone back to Europe. Now, aren't you persona non grata in Germany?
No. Hell no. But I spent 3 weeks last year, and I travel around Europe, travel around the world.
But don't they have penalties for evading the draft?
No, it never came to that point. I saw the army was coming up, and I said to myself, believing in all the American bullshit.
You weren't actually being inducted when you ran off.
I saw it coming, and I said, I'm going to go to the big free United States
right.
where everything is so fair and wonderful, and that's what I wanted to go here, and I found, oh my God, the Americans are a bunch of militarists too. They got a draft, and I said, no way.
So, and you obtained about 22,500 names from NICAP.
Oh, at this point, we mysteriously were disconnected and cut off. However, I hung up and he called me back very quickly.
You there?
Yeah, Krista?
Looks you were cut off, eh?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Did you step right or did the CIA come?
I don't know what happened.
Jeez.
Anyway, I was summarizing. You got 22,500 names from NICAP, and out of those, about 4,000. Came back as undeliverable.
That's right.
And
some of them have been deceased already for 6 and 7 years, you know?
Right. ACUP has written you a letter
protesting the fact that I got the list under false pretenses, which I did not because I made no pretenses. I strictly asked.
You wrote to him under the letterhead of the Idea Center.
Idea Center, right.
And that's in Toronto?
In Toronto.
And that's a, what did you call it?
Advertising agency which I own.
An advertising agency which you own.
Yep.
Okay. So obviously NICAP doesn't plan to provide you with any more of their subscription list.
Well, I'll write this fellow Akov and tell him that I thought I got myself screwed and see if he would be willing to put an ad in his newsletter for me.
Uh-huh.
Well, his payment, maybe you
can What kind of response have you gotten from the NICAP people?
Very good.
How many orders have you received as a result?
They're still coming in every day, and we have had up to $55 in orders from one name. Absolutely astonishing.
Well, how about a ballpark figure of how many people have actually written back and either ordered something or asked for more information or something?
Because it isn't a definite, what they call a specific mailing list, I expect that our orders are going to be about 15%.
Yeah. Is that what you've gotten?
Usually, the returns, as I said, are not all in. They're
right.
coming in still, and I think that it'll be at least 15%. Could be there are considerable more, I hope so, naturally. But usually, if we get a return between 5 and 7% on a standard mailing list, you know, that's considered good in the mail order industry.
Uh-huh.
So a specific mailing list like NICAP is better. And if Common Cause publishes something, maybe I can buy their list.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
How about that?
Since
I
you
don't
are the
know.
Man, are you the man in charge, Sean? Can we make a deal, maybe?
Can we make a deal?
Well
I kind of doubt it.
You doubt that, eh? How about an ad in one of your magazines?
Well, for one thing, I'm not against what you're doing.
Right.
I am against what you're doing philosophically and idealistically,
mm-hmm.
because I think you're totally wrong.
Right.
But I'm not going to try and censor you through some devious means.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
At the same time, you know, I don't think that I should have a hand
right.
you know, promoting you or, you know, aiding and abetting
right.
your effort to rectify
history, yeah.
And also, you know, to you know, your attitude about UFO buffs being susceptible to Nazi propaganda, I think, you know,
it's
sort of an insult to the intelligence of people who follow UFOs.
No, you said that. I didn't say that. I said I found UFO people very open-minded and willing to look at the most unpalatable truths, which I certainly do, and be ridiculed in the newspapers and by government, and called liars and idiots and hallucinations and stuff like that. And I think that independent thinkers is what this world needs, and UFO people usually are independent thinkers. See? Whether they want to buy some of my stuff on Germany, well, hell, I leave that to them.
Right.
Many of them choose to do so, and I'm delighted.
But you think this is the best way to get your point of view across?
The very best. The very best. I find the people on the NICAP mailing list, and since I've advertised in just about every UFO magazine in the world, I find, and I advertise in other magazines, the returns from UFO people far better than from anybody else. I find that the UFO people, as I said once before, maybe I sound repetitious, they are different, they are open-minded usually, they're willing to look at the unthinkable, and I like them.
Well, the unthinkable here being that the Nazis were not cruel, were not inhumanitarian, that they were pretty nice guys, as
that's
you
right.
said, that didn't mistreat anybody.
With a fantastic social policy.
Well, what do you hope to accomplish by ultimately, all right, say you ultimately convince a fairly large segment of people that the Nazis were in fact nice guys. Well, what's the next step from there?
The next step is going to be that we're going to look at all the political systems that were responsible for the destruction of this system, find out why they wanted to have it destroyed, and then we will very quickly see revealed that it wasn't for the high and lofty things as human rights, because they ignore them and kick them with their feet. We will find that what we have opposing National Socialism is international gangsters and blackmailers.
That would be the Jews?
The United States government and ruling circles, certainly.
And they're being manipulated by the Jewish establishment?
Yeah, there's a confluence of interest, yes. Between the United States Eastern establishment and between the Zionist establishment in the United States, no doubt. To the detriment and great sorrow.
So what do you hope to accomplish then? The overthrow of the United States government?
I would have to worry about that. It'll fall like a, Lenin said, like a rotten apple.
And then you will of course make yourself available to be the new leader.
Can I walk on water?
I don't know.
Can you check my holes in my hand and my feet?
Richard Nixon couldn't do those things either. But
well, Richard thought he could compromise with these people. You can't compromise with those people at all.
Well, what, in place of compromise, what would you suggest? Extermination?
The better ideas will win out, and then there will be maybe not a final solution, but certainly a very natural solution to the problem.
A natural solution.
That's right.
Yes,
people of the United States, in the past, in their history, have a very colorful history of dealing with minorities, which they found undesirable. I might only refer to as Wounded Knee and others.
Mm-hmm.
So the United States is the perfect...
So the United States will... Both you and the Russian government apparently believe that the United States will eventually crumble from its own deterioration and... people such as yourself will be prepared to step in and be the new leaders, right?
No, actually, within the United States, there is millions and millions and millions of people that think basically the same healthy thoughts that I think and that my friends think.
Right.
And the United States has been enthralled and blinded through media propaganda, media hype, brainwashing for a couple of generations, but this is coming to an end. The young people that are growing up in the United States, the very people who question the crackdown and the secrecy around flying saucers and so on, they will not take all this garbage any longer. And believe me, I don't know how old you are. I was born in 1939, so I'm this kind of in-between generation. Before I'm an old man, the world will be a beautiful place. There will be law and order and sanity. Today we have repression, persecution.
And people such as yourself and the neo-Nazis will be the new leaders of that
not
civilization of law and order.
Yeah,
and
not your Hollywood-created neo-Nazis. National Socialism in the old form will never come back. That was a typically German 30s idea. That's why Frank Collins is a joke. And all his American neo-Nazis.
You said this Frank Collins is a Jewish refugee or something?
No, I said he's a Jewish hero in Nazi uniform. That's what I said.
He's a Jewish hero in Nazi uniform?
That's right.
But he said something about his ancestors.
His father was in Dachau concentration camp, yeah.
Right. So he's a Jew.
Of course he is.
And Jews cannot be real Nazis.
Even if they do
everything that Nazis are supposed to do.
Well, that's exactly what they're supposed to do, but if I look at the Middle East...
So Jews are inherently rotten people.
No, I didn't say that. Maybe you think that.
No, I don't think that.
There you go. I don't either. You see, you North Americans have a hang-up about Jews. I don't have a hang-up about Jews.
What do you mean you don't have a hang-up about Jews?
No, I don't.
You were telling me how they run the United States.
I say that with grudging admiration.
Uh-huh.
I say that with grudging admiration. I have no hang-up about Jews.
Well, admiration, I mean,
But no hang-up about them.
Admiration or resentment.
Yeah. Well, I admire their drive. I admire their persistence. I admire their dedication. I just wish I could find 10 million Americans or Germans with the same kind of drive. It would be fantastic.
That what?
With the same
kind of... wish you could find 10 million Germans that were the...
And all those Jewish attributes.
Well, why not get together with the Jews? I mean, if the Jews are so much like the Nazis, why not work out some kind of a...
Well, I'm here. Hell's bells, you know, they know my address. I make no bones about where I am, right?
Well, I mean, you know...
I've been on national television in Canada so many times, national radio hookup so many times. Hell's bells, the Jews know where to find me. I've got my telephone number there. You found me.
Yeah.
If they want to do them in...
Do you think the Jews may try and, there's the Jewish Defense League. Maybe they'll try and,
No, they come down here. They said they were going to demonstrate outside my place. I said, great, come on down. I'll take you out for free beer to the German club and schnitzel because I could lose the publicity. That's, and they didn't come. That's the point, you see.
Do you walk around with, swastikas on or...
Never in my whole life wore swastika.
Or...
No, never in my life wore swastika. I'm sitting here while I'm talking to you in sandals and shorts with a hairy chest.
I see.
Yeah. Real hairy in picture.
With a swastika tattooed on your chest now.
No. Under my armpit, man.
Under your armpit.
No, actually, that's the way it is.
I've heard a rumor that there was a Jewish person in your family tree somewhere. Is that true?
Everybody has. Hitler was too. Didn't you know that?
Yeah,
Mao Zedong, I met a guy in Berlin.
Mao Zedong was a Jew?
Well, a guy in Berlin told me he was a Jew from the Lower East Side of
Berlin. His real name was Mao Zedong
Stein. Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's all. You know, if I had Jewish, that would be great.
Huh?
I could join night with.
Yeah.
How about that? All joking aside. Honestly, I mean those people...
So you're making a lot of money though, right?
Well, I'm doing fine, yeah, sure.
You're doing fine.
Sure.
What does the Idea Center do besides...
I cook up ad campaigns in the Idea Centers together with my fellows that work for me.
Ad campaigns for what?
Flying saucer books, other political
books.
Oh,
it's sort of a front for Samizdat then.
Well, sure. This is Samizdat's in-house...
Samizdat is basically its only client?
It's in-house, no, we have other clients. It's in-house advertising agency.
So you actually set it up as sort of a... cover for Samizdat.
No, not really. If you do as much advertising as I do in magazines all over the world, naturally the financial gain aspect of a 15% commission didn't escape me or elude me.
Right.
And so that's what the advertising agency does. It handles all the advertising, direct mail, and so on.
But people ordinarily seeing your ads wouldn't relate the Idea Center being a part of Samizdat or a front
for... Well, the Idea Center never appeals in ads, you see. The Idea Center is just like Judd Reynolds or...
I see. You just place the ads.
That's right.
I see. Right. Okay, very, very interesting.
Oh, well.
This has been a very interesting conversation.
I told you, we covered the world this time, yes?
Yeah, if you ever get together with the Jews, I think you will take over.
Jesus Christ, if you can make me contact down there in Chicago, I'll fly down there tomorrow.
Well, there's a Jewish lady here who would like to meet you. I don't know, if she'll jump on you or anything.
You got my phone number and my address. Put it
right
in touch with me.
Okay, I'll do that.
I don't discriminate.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
You might take over Chicago with her.
No, not really.
Well, anyway.
Okay.
Okay, nice talk.
Nice talking to you.
All right, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.